This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Lynnell Willingham is here. What up?
What's going on, man? Getting active. The Commanders are, at least.
Yeah.
Not so much.
Eddie Goldman, re-signed Marcus Mariota. I don't know that we said that on the show today.
It's been a day. I have been... I'm glad no one's tweeted at me for my last appearance on the show talking about Marcus Mariota. Times have changed since then.
You're allowed to...
But the data changed, my take changed. That's
correct.
Fair.
That is how the world should work.
That's how the world works.
There's unfortunately, it's not always how the world works.
Well, yes, we know that. But for me, in this situation, yes. I think that was underrated signing that like had to happen to me. Although I would have been okay with Jeff Driskel. They win at the end of the day to me.
Yeah, I mean, backup quarterback-wise, Driskel versus Mariota ain't that big of a difference. Yeah. But like...
But after seeing him, it's...
Yeah. But keeping... I mean, I put out this post earlier. I was like, so far the Commanders offseason, biggest things that they've done are get Jaden Daniels a new easy button, get him a new starting left tackle, and then re-sign his big brother, essentially, in Bobby Wagner, his like safety blanket in Zach Ertz, and his mentor in the position room in Marcus Mariota. Those are five moves, yeah, all relative to Jaden Daniels that help Jaden Daniels, the most important person in the franchise, be better.
And I think when you look at it through that lens, like,
how good job, Adam.
Yeah, like, how can you be upset at anything that they've done at this point? I think that's one piece of this offseason. And, like, we kind of predicted, I did at least, like, they wouldn't be super active in the first wave. It just, they weren't like that last year.
Right.
And I think this time around they're using the same approach, but, like, they're doing things to help the quarterback. And I love that that's what the lens that you're looking at it through. I feel like him taking another step forward, too, is another win in this offseason. Them being able to layer this offense based off the stuff they put in last year is another win for this offense. So I'm excited about everything for the most part. I know people have kind of been down on the Kinlaw signing.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. But when I see, I'll be honest, by the way, let me get my catchphrase out there. We're at the mercy of the evaluator, people. Whatever AP says goes. But when I see the money that DeMarcus Lawrence got in Seattle, I don't know if you all touched on that.
I didn't say the money out loud yet. The money's funny on that one.
Yeah, so I think it's three for 42,
but it's 18 guaranteed, which probably means it's
two-year
deal, not even. Like, I wonder if it's a 1-year $18 million, and then, like, on the third day of the league year two becomes guaranteed.
Something
type
like
of deals,
that.
But, like, you can cut them before. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see when the details come out.
But point is, like, similar contract to what you gave Kinlaw, but the structure is different. So it's not, I guess. I hear what you're saying.
But they're different positions. They're different ages.
Well, that's, but at the same, both at positions of need, I would rather that money have been given to DeMarcus Lawrence.
I don't know about that.
If I'm going to nitpick at anything.
33-year-old guy?
It's a lot of money. How much? He's only $15 million guaranteed, right? Kinlaw.
No, Kinlaw is 30. But it's over 2 years.
Yes.
So, like, that's a lot of money for a 33-year-old dude who hadn't been that. Like, he hasn't been Tank Lawrence in, like, 3 years.
I'm just – Commanders fans can understand where I'm coming from because I think you all are influencing my thought process with this. We're thirsty for the edge rusher right now. And
for
let
sure.
me not say edge rusher because DeMarcus Lawrence would have came in and I would have said, you know what? That's kind of exactly who you need. Long arm guy that can be stout at the point of attack, playing the run. Like, he's earned the name Tank, for God's sake. So, like, that's what he does. And then he can give you pass rush juice as well. But I do think And I was listening to our pal John Keim earlier today with Bram, and they when John's my barometer for certain things, just because he's, I don't know who they're telling things to, but I know if they are telling things
John's
to somebody,
got a lot of information, and he's got a good demeanor.
So for him to say that, he kind of hinted at Javon Kinlaw playing some defensive end, I go,
Yeah.
Maybe it is a real thing. I know
they called it the elephant end in Seattle, and they, like, big 6'5", 320. Red Bryant was the guy they had doing it back in the day, and
Fred
like
was huge.
Yeah, he was 6'5", 320, which is exactly what Kinlaw is. I think they carried it a little bit different, but
well, yeah, Red was more up top. It felt like bigger, chubby. He's a thick build guy up top.
Yeah. So, long story short, like they're gonna have to do something on the edge. We know that they got to figure out who that is, when that happens.
No way you can give up more draft capital, right?
I don't think so. But, like, I also was thinking about this when we were talking about it with a caller in the last segment. Like, what happens if on draft night they trade back and now all of a sudden they have an extra second or something to play with? Like, and Trey Hendrickson still hasn't been traded.
Word to Glorilla, let him cook.
Yeah, so, like,
everything's things, possible.
Nothing happens in a vacuum.
Right, exactly.
And so, you know, if all of a sudden they go from, if they essentially one-for-one swap their first-round pick into Trey Hendrickson and maybe another pick, where they can, like, get, I mean,
it's
I doubt.
A fourth or a fifth or something like that.
Yeah, like, I don't
that's
think kinda
that's rich,
the
maybe, but
worst yeah. use of, I mean, but again, it just depends on how much, like, I don't want to still want to pay Trey Hendrickson $32 million a year. I know he's really good, but he's getting, on he's on the wrong side of 30, all that kind of stuff, too. So,
I guess, yeah.
I don't know. It's.
What it comes down to is they're kind of showing us, but they haven't flat out said it, so it's risky to say that they're feeling this way. I think that they're just going for it right now, and I think that move would signify that, yeah, we really are going for it right
they
now.
They're obviously going for it. I mean, the Tunsil move is a go-for-it type of move, but they also, I think they understand, like, the foundation of your team is still built through the draft. Nothing they've done has undermined their ability to do that. Yes, they have given up some draft capital, but they still have a fair amount of it. And I mean, this is how we kind of ended the last hour. This is not earth-shattering analysis, but, like, the only way to be good at this is to be good at this. There is no strategy that 100% guarantees success of more draft picks, more trades, more this. The Rams won with FM picks. You had other teams that have won with teams built purely through the draft. You have other teams that win with some combination of the two. Like, you said, whatever you choose. And if you have 4 picks or 10 picks, you got to be good at picking players. And so I think what the Commanders have done is they looked at this free agent market and been, and by the way, I think some of this draft, and realized we can't get what we need in certain spots.
Exactly.
And so, like, let's use the draft picks. We have the cap space to do it. We'll pay a premium in salary to get guys that we know are good, which is kind of not a bad strategy when you say it that way out loud.
Yeah, I was listening to Greg Rosenthal of NFL.com like a month or two ago, and he was like, I expect teams to be aggressive in the trade market this year because there are no free agents. So how else do you build your team? You got to get a little bit creative, and I think that's what Washington's doing. Also, like, it's also a little bit of a situation with AP, to me at least, and maybe I'm looking too deep into it, where he's kind of seen it done like this before. Didn't San Fran go out and get Trent Williams? Didn't San Fran go out and get Christian McCaffrey? So, like, they've you pick your spot, so to speak. And I still think the philosophy is build through the draft. But when you – Jaden Daniels changes your trajectory. It changes how you look at yourself.
100%. And, those trades – I know San Fran didn't win a world championship. But
they
did.
For 4 to 5 years.
Yeah, they were the best team in the NFC, and they went to 2 Super Bowls. So,
yes.
And Christian McCaffrey was incredible for them.
Exactly.
And Trent Williams has been incredible for them. And if Debo doesn't have to be 2021 Debo, because that dude ain't coming back. That was an insane season. But if he's 2023 Debo, like, he's way better. Would they give up a fifth for him?
Yeah.
That's way better than anything you'll get in the fifth round this year. So I think that's how you have to look at it, is, like, we're paying a premium for – I mean, I guess it's not guarantees because we don't know if that version of Debo is coming back. Why did he have a down year last year?
Right.
Tunsil, I'm less concerned about. One, he actually, PFF grade is what it is, but, like, he actually wasn't that bad last year. Their offensive line was terrible in general.
Right.
He obviously had a million penalties, but their whole offensive system was a nightmare.
Yeah.
And I also think, unlike there, where they can't get, they're bad mouthing him on the way out to an extent of, like, this guy's not a leader, whatever. They don't need him to be a leader here.
No.
Like, there are so many leaders on that offense, from Ertz to Cosme to Biadasz to Terry to Jaden. Like, at best, he's like the seventh or eighth guy that anyone would look to and be like, hey, we need you to be a leader here. We need you to block your face off.
Nick Allegretti speaking up before Tunsil is.
Like, he's like the sixth guy. I mean, in terms of like nastiness, Coleman's got a nasty streak and some leadership to him. Like, he's like the sixth guy in the O-line room. Hey, Laramie, I don't care what you wear. I don't care your fashion. I don't care if you want to be about, you know, I'm Mr. Two-time highest paid tackle in the league and I'm my own agent. Brack, block.
Oh, he's his own agent?
Yeah.
That's a flat. Oh, that's why people are. See, people get upset when people represent themselves for whatever reason.
They do.
And I think it's smart because what's this about? Creating generational wealth. That little 10% that you're giving to the agent, that's putting maybe your grandkid through school. You know, so like, I don't ever hate on that. Ever.
Point being, if Laramie Tunsil plays awesome at left tackle, I'm not saying I don't care what he does other than that. Yeah. But like the stuff that he has been criticized for, the stuff that people are mad about in Houston, I don't care about that stuff. Go play, dude. Be good. Let everyone else take care of the leadership things. Don't ask guys that aren't leaders to lead. That's a Dan Quinn special right there. And so I'm perfectly fine with that. All right. The whole reason we had you here was to do
we've got on a tangent.
To ask this question that we're going to ask next here on the Hoffman Show, which is, are the Commanders ultimately, in trying to go for it in the way that they're going for it, making a mistake? Connor Orr of the Monday Morning Quarterback tried to make that argument. We'll see if we believe it next on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We are always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Why do you keep looking at Anthony? What is going on?
I feel like he knows what I'm going to say. He had to come back with it again. We this is special. That's all right.
I feel like he's doing it
He only wants to hear this song.
I'm just giving him a hard time because it's fun to do. And you don't do enough of it, Craig. Give him more of a hard time.
You know, see, here's the thing. Just walk around trying to throw your weight around, trying to be like, oh, I'm going to poke here, needle here. I just walk around quiet until sometime I pull out like a cartoon-sized mallet and just bam. Yeah. And nobody sees it coming.
Like, literally.
It hits a lot harder.
Like, 10 minutes ago, I did not see you coming. You were right behind me.
No, I just snuck up right on you. Just gave you a little.
I compared you to Cooper DeJean. Craig may be maybe a P-Squad DB this year, depending on.
Oh, look, the Commanders need some bodies. This body ain't. Let me tell you. We were talking about this yesterday on the show. Dog, when I'm sitting here be like, that guy's 33, he's too old. I'm 35 years old. It's coming for you eventually. It's coming for you eventually, and it's going to suck.
You're
not ready for
it. You carry your 35 well, though, man. Nobody would know.
Great.
No one looks at you and says 35.
But when everyone...
But 35 is the new 21.
Yeah, like, as a human being, I'm young. I'm fine. But when all of a sudden you're running out of athletes that are your age or younger or your age or older in the sport, like, I saw Calais Campbell on that thing, and he's 39. I'm like, hell yeah, I got years left, bro.
He's another interesting name, too, man. Just saying.
Don't disagree.
Look, there should be a for-hire sign up, rather, for defensive end right now.
Yeah. No, they need to figure that out. They need to figure receiver out. They just need bodies at those positions. Yeah. But in terms of what they actually have done, this was a really interesting clip that you brought to my attention, because I don't agree with the totality of it. I will tell you that up front. But the concept is definitely worth discussing. Here's Connor Orr on the Monday Morning Quarterback podcast on Washington.
I did not like Washington's free agency at all. I hate the idea of microwaving this process and just being like, oh, okay, we made it to the NFC title game. Let's get Deebo Samuel and Laramie Tunsil and let's trade away all of our picks for veteran guys and bop, 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 bop. This, you know, it's not 2010 anymore. Like, it doesn't necessarily work that way. And now you're putting a lot on Jaden Daniels' plate. And for everybody that's telling me, well, you have to strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah.
That's what the Jets said with Mark Sanchez. That's what the Texans said with CJ Stroud. That's what all these teams, you know, that's what the Eagles said with Carson Wentz. And it ended up just overloading these guys. And then they were never the same.
I'll do the dismantling of the argument part, and then I want to discuss the idea of microwaving it or not, because that part is an interesting discussion.
Yes.
If your comparisons for the Commanders are the Mark Sanchez-led Jets.
That's tough.
And the Carson Wentz-led Eagles, who pivoted and have won multiple Super Bowls since, your argument might be terrible. So the specifics of Connor's argument are just absolutely horrendous. Because, while yes, they tried to go all in and build the dream team thing, the Eagles show that you can pivot off of that if it doesn't work.
Exactly.
And Mark Sanchez It's not Jaden Daniels. So that's the end of that.
Exactly.
But the idea of microwaving and trying to do what the Texans tried to do last year, like, I think there are a lot of fans that have that nervousness and are questioning whether this is a good idea. You wanted to talk about this with me specifically. Why did you want to talk about this?
Because it's like, I low-key, like, I get where he's coming from. Let me get out in front and say I disagree with the, like, premise that they're putting too much on Jaden's plate is something that he said. And I was like, huh? And what he's saying by that is, like, there's added pressure and expectation to succeed because look at what the franchise is doing to make sure that you succeed. So you have to prove them right, so to speak. I just think, and it's a blessing for us, we've got a quarterback that has the temperament of like a 72-year-old retired postman. He just is cooling. It doesn't care about anything. He wakes up in the morning. He eats his cereal. He waters the lawn. And he goes back in and is the best granddad in America.
Jaden being the best quarterback. His version of being a granddad is showing up at 4:30 to do a walkthrough with Cliff Kingsbury.
He just, you know what I'm saying? So I hope you got the analogy. But like, I don't worry about that with him. But I do think they have given up picks. And sure. for a front office that came in here, and one of the first things they said when they were at the press conference in Ashburn when they were both hired was, we're going to build this thing through the draft. And they've given up 2 third-rounders this year, a 4th-rounder this year, a 5th-rounder this year, a 6th-rounder this year, a 7th-rounder this year, and then a 2nd and a 4th next year.
That's
considered like premium capital. Like those
some,
are
some of those, but also
some of them, yes.
Some of those are premium, and also they've gotten some back too, right? Like
correct.
Some of those,
there were 2 thirds
actually. You know, they've actually like moved up in the 3rd round
right.
Compared to where they were. Although I guess that pick went in the Tunsil trade. So
right.
That, you know, initially when they gave up the 3rd, it was.
He's really just flipping, honestly.
So yeah, like there are some and maybe he's not done yet. And that's kind of my thing is if you.
Exactly. He's
like,
not done yet.
We're evaluating this in the middle, right? You're grading the test and being like, this answer's wrong. And it's like, I haven't gotten to that question yet. Like, I don't know if you've noticed, but the Scantron is only filled into question 50, and there's 75 questions on the test, there, Professor Connor Orr. And so, like, that's the thing, is there's no reason that they can't, on draft night, trade back and recoup some of these picks. And I also think the other part of this is, my retort, my question, and I think Albert Breer does a good job of explaining some of the logic on this very show, if anyone wants to go check it out. We just don't have time to play Albert's very long response, because then we wouldn't have time to respond. So, like, what are the other options?
Exactly. How else do you do it?
Ultimately, if you make the NFC Championship game, you want to get better so you can get to the Super Bowl. And that's the goal. The whole point is to win. It's not strike while the iron's hot. The iron should, if Jaden Daniels is who they think he is, be hot for 10 years.
Yeah.
They have to think about both, how do we get better now and how do we get better later. But if they wanted to get better now, what was the other option? Sign a bunch of guys and just sit on all your draft picks and wait and hope that you hit a couple more home runs in the draft? Like, I was talking to a team executive over the last couple of months, and we were talking about their long-term strategy. And they literally were just like, I know I'm like one of the guys that's hit for them or one of the players that's hit for them. They were like, I'm not going to get that lucky again.
There's a reality
that like if you are hitting on 5th-rounders or if it's the NBA late 1st-rounders, if it's other leagues, like, you know, undrafted free agents, right? You know, I'm thinking of one of the soccer players in town who now is like a starting caliber player, was an undrafted free agent. Like there are exceptions to the rule always, but you can't rely on exceptions. And when you're picking at 29 and you plan on picking at least there or later for multiple years in a row, you have to find a way to get premium talent.
Because guess what? And I know the one thing that's interesting is, right, like for years we had talent evaluators here that were alleged to be getting drunk on the job and they weren't seen as serious football people. We got serious football people in the building. So the days of like pretending like we know more than them, I'm done with that. Because I trust Adam Peters. That's why I keep saying we're at the mercy of the evaluator. With that being said, like, he ain't going to
bet at the mercy of the evaluator with the drunks too, but you know,
exactly.
I shouldn't say the drunks, the alleged drunks. Nobody sue me.
Yeah, but you know, he's not going to bat 1,000. And the one thing I said the first time I cracked the mic after the NFC Championship game is, this is, to me, one of the most important off-seasons. I'm hedging when I say that. I said this is the most important off-season of the rebuild. You can agree with that statement or not. I said they were going to be aggressive. How they were going to be aggressive, though, I thought would look different, and they're kind of showing it. I don't think they're done. I have a hunch. I just don't think you can wait until the draft. And it goes from about what you said last week to me, which I've repeated it a million times because I think it's spot on. You got to go into free agency in this period acting like the draft don't exist.
Right.
Because there's no guarantee that you get to 29 and James Pierce is there. There's no guarantee that you get to 61 and Jack Sawyer's there. Control the controllables.
Yeah,
I may go get Trey Hendrickson. Still.
I don't know. See, that's the one thing. Is like I think the Hendrickson door for now is closed. But we were talking about this in a break.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What if on draft night Trey Hendrickson still hasn't been traded? And the Commanders have an offer on the table to move back to 39, let's say. Let's not make it a 5 or 6 thing. Let's make it where they have to go back a little farther because that's going to get them more in return.
Right.
And they do that knowing if we can get an extra second here, we can replace our second from next year, and maybe we trade that 39th pick for Trey Hendrickson. Or we trade our 61st pick if Cincinnati will take it for Trey Hendrickson. Like, now we're cooking. But you have to have the first one first.
Right.
And I think that is one thing that I am very cognizant of, having now covered multiple rebuilds and covering multiple ongoing rebuilds, is you can't grade the test till the test has been turned in. And I think that we are in the middle of the test for Adam Peters when it comes to this offseason. And thus, some of the, like, what they've done is gotten better and acquired better talent.
Yeah.
That's good. In terms of cleaning it up and making sure that they can continue to do that moving forward, that is an ongoing process. And that way, the test is never turned in until, like, Jaden Daniels is done in his prime. And we look back and say, how many Lombardis did they win? And did they do enough to win it? Leno Willingham, we'll be talking about this, I'm sure, more tonight.
For
if you
sure.
want the unhinged version, listen tonight at 6:30 on 106.7 The Fan. I'm half joking. Tonight, overtime, you can catch him there on 106.7 The Fan and, of course, the free Odyssey app. Good to
this
see you,
is
dude.
Fun. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you as well. When Anthony, what are we doing when we get back? Are we doing the Mariota thing? Are we doing the other thing? What are we doing?
Should we talk about how the Commanders are supporting Jaden Daniels?
We could talk about that a little bit. We'll talk about the Marcus Mariota re-signing and why it actually fits with the one consistent thing they've done with this offseason next on The Hoffman Show. The Hoffman Show is brought to you by the Maryland Vehicle Prevention Council. Maryland drivers, did you know a vehicle is stolen every 16 minutes in the state of Maryland? The key to preventing theft is in your hands. Lock your car, take your key, use an anti-theft device. Learn more about vehicle theft prevention at mdautotheft.org. It's the Hoffman Show. We are on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. So the Commanders' main moves this offseason, I think, Anthony, have all gone into one bucket. They have gone into the Jaden Daniels bucket. And if you were trying to think of a better bucket to invest in, I don't know what it would be for the Washington Commanders. What could they possibly invest in that's more important than, like, is there a situation where Jaden Daniels is not a superhero where they're good again next year? Or where they're, I shouldn't say good, where they're great again next year?
I mean, if our defense is going to go out there and be the leading scoring defense in the NFL, maybe, but...
Okay, let me react. Is there a realistic...
No.
Of course not.
No.
Of course not. Now, it is also not unrealistic to think that he could perform at an MVP caliber level again. Like, that's who he was last year. It was not smoke and mirrors. Like, it wasn't a bunch of BS. Like, they were just good. They used their things that they had in their toolbox really well, and almost no one could stop it the entire year, including the Eagles. Now, the Eagles presented a bunch of other problems. Commanders aren't better than the Eagles. But if they, like, if Washington, is the question is, like, can they score on Philadelphia? They figured it out about as well as anyone. And if they can figure out how to freaking run the ball this year, that would be even better. But here's the Commanders' offseason so far with the re-signing today of Marcus Mariota, the backup quarterback last year, who they re-signed on a one-year, $8 million deal. They got Jaden Daniels a new easy button in Deebo Samuel, right? We'll see how that goes, but a guy they can give jet sweeps to, a guy they can give screens to, a guy that is pretty reliable at getting open underneath in zone coverage. Like, they got a guy who they can give Jaden a mental rep off, basically, to be like, hey, just hand the ball to Deebo or throw the ball to Deebo and see what happens. They got him a 5-time Pro Bowl left tackle and Laremy Tunsil. And I believe those 5 Pro Bowls are in the last 6 years. That's That's good. That's nice. Like that. They brought back his safety blanket, the guy who was the best fourth down receiver in the NFL last year, on a team that had the best fourth down conversion percentage in 25 years in the history of the league, in Zach Ertz. They brought back his big bro, if you will, in Bobby Wagner, a guy who was essential to Jaden's success, one of his best friends in the locker room, a mentor, a guide to NFL football, someone who made him better on and off the field. And then his in-position group mentor, and Marcus Mariota, which essentially keeps the quarterback room intact, which, by the way, this is a, like, I don't know that it's an under-talked about or underrated thing. Like, it's ultimately the assistant quarterback's coach, but certain positions you can block coaching moves for, and there were some teams that wanted to talk to David Blau, and because it wasn't for, like, a coordinator position, the Commanders could block it. They're like, you're on a two-year contract, or whatever the coaching contract was, and you're under contract with us, and even though you would be getting a small promotion from assistant quarterback's coach to quarterback's coach, you're staying here. And they blocked David Blau from taking other interviews because they want to keep that quarterback room of Blau, Driscoll, Sam Hartman, I would assume, is going to be back in the practice squad again, who's like Jaden's best friend on the team, Mariota, Tavita Pritchard, Cliff Kingsbury, together. As long as they can. And if next year Cliff winds up getting a head coaching job, then I would assume that they reshuffle that room and try to keep as many of those guys in there as they can. But that's when you can be like, hey, Blau, you're going to get the quarterback's coach job here because DeVita is now the OC or passing game coordinator. And Brian Johnson is the current passing game coordinator. Like, he's in that room as well. Like, we'll see what happens with him and potential interviews. So there's just an incredible level of continuity for what I would argue was the most important thing at the most important position, which is the ecosystem around the quarterback. And yes, do they still need to go find wide receivers? And that's a pretty important part of the ecosystem, whatever. Yes, but they've done a pretty remarkable job of keeping this thing together, Anthony. And that makes me feel really good about Jaden Daniels going into year two. And it probably makes Jaden Daniels feel pretty good going into year two.
Yeah, I think they essentially are just building off of last year. I think last year, the rookie quarterback, in terms of the play on the field, you know, Cliff Kingsbury, he did a good job of, you know, not giving them too much, giving them, you know, screens and, like, easy ways to, you know, get the ball out of his hand. I think this year they're more so trying to build a more explosive offense. You go out there, you get Laremy Tunsil, who can protect his blind side. So now he maybe can, you know, take some longer drops, you know, hold him to the ball a little bit longer, as opposed to, you know, getting the ball out. Also, we had people chipping off the edges. So, like, most of the time we had three people going out as opposed to, you know, having, you know, more options available. So I think they're just doing a better job of, you know, building the offense up. You bring Debo in, you know, he's a home run hitter.
By the way, he's a home run hitter without the risk involved, right? Debo at his best, and I'm talking 2023, like realistic Debo, not 2021 Debo, is a guy that you can throw a slant to, a screen to, and he breaks a tackle and takes it to the house. You can throw him a 5-yard hitch, he slips off a guy and he's gone. He's not a vertical stretch the field guy.
Yeah.
Which is very, very different.
Yeah.
I think I need to find Let me double check this. We've got people in the YouTube chat with news, Anthony, and Commanders news. So I'm going to double check this real quick. That way I'm not reading a wrong thing on the air. But I think
the Chargers.
Well, the Chargers did something, and then there's also the Commanders did something. The Chargers apparently have signed BSJ.
Yes.
So that's that. And yeah, Jeremy Fowler reporting Jonathan Jones, the former Patriots corner, to the Commanders on a 1-year deal. So, Kimes got it as well. Played for New England since 2016. Can play inside and outside. Mark Bullock, who does a lot of film study, he says, surprising move, undersized corner, more of a slot guy, probably a depth piece. I don't know about that. I mean, they need more bodies, obviously, as well. But a guy that's played a ton of NFL football. Let me pull up his
kind of. You said Mark said he'll probably be in the slot.
We said he's a guy. Mark thinks he's going to be a depth piece, not a starter.
Okay.
Where I'm like, I don't know. I mean, right now he's definitely their number two corner. But Like, what I think it probably does, though, is it gives you a floor. Like, worst case scenario now, Jonathan Jones is your number two corner. Now, what that means, I can have a better idea in a couple minutes if I can watch 20 snaps of film and also look at some stats and stuff real quick, some grades and kind of where he's been and let's see where he's lined up, snaps by position. He last year played outside for most of the year. He played in the slot predominantly in 1, 2, 3, 4 games, including 3 of the last 4 where he was a rotational guy. So he mostly played outside, but he does definitely have versatility. I mean, there's one game where PFF's got him lined up at free safety for 22 snaps, and that's the most he played in that game in week 10. So I'm going to have to watch. I mean, now I'm kind of want to watch week 10 and week 12 real quick because those are the times he moved around quite a bit. But he definitely is a guy that's versatile, 5'10", 185, ran a 4.3 in college, or coming out of college, like super, super fast guy.
What about his age, though?
He's older. He's played a lot of football.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy that played, if I can get defense. He played over 700 snaps last year, so he's not a full-time player.
Yeah.
His peak, he played 914 on 2022 New England. But, like, his grades are pretty good. He's a pretty sure tackler. Okay run defender for most of his career. At times, like 2019, Jonathan Jones was a really good run defender, really good at everything. He's definitely not a number one corner anymore, I'll tell you that much. But he's also a guy that puts a floor underneath you where now if you go draft someone who's better, great. If you don't, then you hope that he's good here.
Yeah.
So we'll get a little bit more on Jonathan Jones coming up next here on the Hoffman Show. All right, so the Commanders have another signing, Jonathan Jones, cornerback out of New England. Played 9 years for the Patriots, been a starter for most of that time. I'm going to be honest with y'all, I don't have a whole lot else on him, but here's the PFF stuff. I can give you that for sure. Made his debut in 2016, didn't really play a whole lot, only played 66 snaps that year, but was a full-time starter, or a rotational starter, I should say, in 2017. Played almost 500 snaps that season. He graded out very, very well from 2017 all the way through to 2023. 2021 was kind of a down year for him, but he also was hurt that year and didn't play a whole lot. 2022, he bounced back after that down year in 21, played a career-high 914 snaps, over 500, almost 600 snaps in coverage that year, and PFF had him at a 67 grade, which is a green grade, low green, but green. He has always been a consistent tackler. He has always played the run pretty well as well. Last year was probably his worst season as a pro, or one of his worst seasons as a pro, according, again, to PFF metrics, which are what they are. We know that defense was a mess last year. Those first 8 years were under Bill Belichick. The last year was under Gerard Mayo and whatever else they had going on in New England. That seems like probably a relevant thing. He mostly has lined up as an outside corner, but he also has played a fair amount, or the last, I should say, 3 years mostly as an outside corner. The first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years of his career, he played a lot more slot. So definitely an interesting thing to consider here as they figure out, like, is this Mike Sainer still insurance? And by the way, if this guy winds up being a rotation piece who can spell Mike Sainer still / teach Mike Sainer still some of the tricks of the trade, like, there are a lot worse guys that you can have in the room than a guy that played 8 years for Bill Belichick at a really high level who's at the end of his career. I think that's one of the things we learned last year is, like, the value of the vet in the room. And a guy that, by the way, has been around in that room with Marshawn Lattimore. Like, you know, is he a guy that can maybe take on a different role and making sure that Marshawn's head is on straight. Ultimately, I don't know that he's a starting caliber guy. He's certainly not a high caliber starter. Reading texted our guy Dan Pizzuta real quick. This is a guy that was playing opposite of a Christian Gonzalez, as Dan pointed out in his text back to me. He definitely was not like it sounds, Anthony, by what Dan just texted me. I don't want to set this guy up for failure, so I'm going to whisper this. You ready? Make sure your headphones are on and ready. There's a little bit of BSJ where he deters a lot of targets. And sit down. Don't you walk out. This was just last year. Jonathan Jones had 8 years of success. So relax. But like apparently last year there was a little bit like did a really good job deterring targets, especially considering he was playing opposite Christian Gonzalez. And then we got thrown at, things didn't always go great. So the ball skills for whatever reason took a dip. But again, I wonder how much of that was year one out of the Belichick system with Jerod Mayo and whatever else they were trying to do defensively last year, where that defense, everyone thought that defense was going to be really good. And then they were terrible. And like the only good thing about New England was kind of Drake May by the end of the year. And he was obviously up and down because he's a rookie and had no infrastructure around him. And then they fired everyone because they did a bunch of dumb stuff. So hopefully he can regain his form and he's fine. They'll hopefully put him in positions here to do what he's good at. And if you're telling me I got a guy who's got good speed, has had a history of being a solid corner and he plays the run really well, like that's a guy that can play for Dan Quinn. Because that's the thing is like, you know, if the ball, you know, when he gets thrown at, he's going to get challenged. You know, you got to clean that up. Okay, Joe Witt Jr. has always been pretty good about that kind of stuff, coaching that up. What you can't really coach up is like, hey, can you be physical and play the run really, really well? Like, of course, you can coach up the technique, but like there's a mentality there, and it seems like this guy more than has that. So there's that.
I think when you think about everything you've just outlined about Jonathan Jones, the thing that sticks out to me about him is the fact that he's physical. He's a great tackler. Do you think he's going to align more in the slot as opposed to like an outside? Because that's what it gives almost.
I don't know. That's the thing. Okay. And I think it probably depends on like one, I would think they experiment with it. Like if they have these two guys that can play inside outside and Mikey winds up clearly being better outside or Jones is clearly better inside, maybe that is the plan. Maybe they just be like, this was never our plan, but it's not a bad one. So, Mikey, hey, you really settled into the outside corner spot last year. Let's just stick you out there opposite of Marshawn and let's go. That could be your starting trio. You could flip it and say, Jones, you're going to play outside. Mikey, you're back inside. They could also draft a guy that could beat out Jones for the outside spot and he winds up as corner four or he doesn't make the team because sometimes that stuff happens. You sign a guy in the offseason, he doesn't even survive training camp. Like, I don't know. It's March 12th. But having a guy that's got a good history, very clearly a smart football player, if Bill Belichick keeps you around that long, especially as a DB where like Belichick is, you know, that was kind of his forte was the back end coverage stuff. Like very clearly a smart guy, very clearly plays with a lot of physicality and, the fact that he's graded out so well against the run year after year after year after year. And so it gives you, you know, some kind of floor underneath you. And this is what to expect from the Commanders in free agency throughout the rest of this. Like the sexiest name that you can possibly, like the two sexiest names they might sign are Azeez Ojulari and Amari Cooper. Cooper, because he's a known commodity or a known name at 31 years old. And Ojulari, because he's 25. Like purely because he's got a little pass rush juice and he's 25. All you are doing is trying to put floors underneath you so that you can genuinely go into the draft without a need, where you go into the draft without a, if we don't draft a guy that's a starter for us, we're in deep S. And Jonathan Jones puts that kind of floor underneath you. I don't know how much more at this point in his career of a floor he puts underneath you, but at the very least does that. So they got that going for him, which is nice.
Yeah.
All right. I have terrible news for all of the faithful Hoffman Show listeners that are listening right now. This is our final break of the show. I feel like I haven't said that today at all. And so I'm so sorry to break this heartbreaking news to you, but we are done at 6:15 today because Georgetown DePaul in the Big East tournament is following us and the pregame show starts at 6:15. So your final bit of football, a little basketball, and some real things, real people said in real microphones to wrap up the show next here on the Team 980.